Welcome to Through the Word, leading you on a journey through the entire Bible, one chapter at a time. Today, Chris Langham guides us through the New Testament book of Luke. Now to Pastor Chris.
Luke chapter 24, and on our journey through the Word, this is as big as it gets. It took place on a Sunday, and if you ask me, it is the most important day in history. In the great story of mankind and life upon this earth, many events have shaken and shaped the world as we know it. Revolutions, uprisings, new religions, acts of heroism, great works of art, discoveries of science or technological breakthroughs. Many of them great, but this day tops them all. If it were not for the events of this one day, life on this earth would be, as Solomon put it, meaningless. And if the stories of this day were in fact just stories, then according to Paul the Apostle, we as Christians would be the most pitiful people in the world. Our entire faith would be worthless. Everything hangs on this one day. It is Resurrection Day. 3 days have passed since Jesus took on the greatest enemy of all, death. Death is the one enemy that conquers every man, no matter how smart or strong, and Jesus took it head on. But watch the battle carefully. Jesus didn't win the battle on the cross. He died, which is pretty much death's signature move. To defeat death, you have to live. So the showdown is 3 days past now, and the disciples are still struggling with this apparent defeat. But the third day is a big one. So big that it had to start bright and early, just after dawn, in fact, with a few of the women who had followed Jesus. Let's start in at verse 1. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen." Wow, now that's a way to start a Sunday. And verse 5 has what is quite possibly my favorite question in the entire Bible. Why do you seek the living among the dead? In other words, why are you looking for Jesus in a tomb? Jesus is not dead, he is alive. Your walk with God is not a memorial service. It is not a history class, and it is not a documentary on ancient religion. Your walk is a living, breathing, jumping, leaping, loving, sharing, risk-taking, heart-pounding, edge-of-your-seat relationship with the living God. That's not just life. John 17:3 says that's eternal life. So stop going to church like an old lady showing up at a tomb with spices in your hand. And don't spend your devotions as if you are laying flowers at Jesus' gravestone. As the angels declare in verse 6, "He is not here, but has risen." Now the next word from the angels is an important one, and it captures well the message of the rest of the chapter. The word is remember. Back in verse 6 again. "Remember how he told you, while he was still in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, and be crucified, and on the third day, rise." And they remembered his words. So why were the disciples so surprised? The whole experience certainly would have been better if they had put their faith in Jesus' promise to come back. Hope makes every trial better. So why didn't they just believe? I don't really know for sure, but I have a theory. I figure the disciples were like the rest of us who don't like to think about hard truth, like when we're told it's going to be tough, but we don't want to hear it. God promises us some hard things in this life. Jesus promised you trials, repeatedly. But still we act surprised. Now here's the real issue. If you won't listen to the hard promise, you won't hear the hope that comes with it. In John 16:33, Jesus promised you, "In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world." As for the women, they are shocked. They run back to tell the disciples, who aren't quite ready to hope yet. Still, two of them decide they better check it out for themselves. They find it empty, of course, and they are left wondering. Two other disciples are also wondering about this report as they walk along the road to a town called Emmaus. One disciple is named Cleopas, and the other one we don't know. Let's read in verse 13. That very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and they were talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What is this conversation that you are holding with each other as you walk?" And they stood still, looking sad. Now this story amazes me. And it's a great picture of our God who walks with us, and yet we don't always recognize him. We may walk and wonder together what God is doing and why certain things have happened, yet all the while God walks with us unrecognized. In this case, Jesus was with them in the flesh, but they don't see it, not yet. So the apparent stranger asks them what they're talking about, which is totally God's style to ask you things he already knows. And they tell him about Jesus of Nazareth. In verse 19, he was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. They go on to lay out all of the facts that they know about Jesus, like puzzle pieces that don't quite fit. Facts about his amazing life and his tragic death. Do you ever do that? Try to piece together a mystery or figure out what God is up to by laying out all the pieces? When things seem to be going one way but didn't quite work out the way you had hoped. That's a key phrase here in the disciple story, had hoped. It shows up at the beginning of verse 21. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things happened. The disciples had hoped. When all was going well and Jesus was so amazing, everything seemed to add up. His words were truth, the very words of God, and his works were powerful, bringing healing and life. But this last part just didn't make sense. He died. Worse yet, he was killed. Death won, and their hopes were dashed. How do you piece together God doing such amazing things on one side and allowing something so awful on the other? It seems that they would have lost all hope entirely until a new piece showed up, one they hadn't expected. And this is the one that changes everything, the one that brings hope back into even the darkest situation, in your life too. The disciples heard news. Jesus is alive. In response to their confusion over the facts, in verse 25, Jesus tells the disciples that they are being foolish. Now, foolish means lacking understanding. When you look at the facts but don't get it, you see only the surface of things and don't perceive that your plan and God's plan are two different things. When things get tough and you quickly conclude that God has failed you, that is foolish. Let's read at verse 25. And he said to them, O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. This is awesome. That had to be one of the best Bible studies of all time. As they walk along the road, Jesus walks them through the Old Testament and explains all the scriptures about himself. These were the scriptures that the disciples knew, but they were slow of heart to believe them. How about your heart? Will you believe the promises, both the hard ones and the hope? Now the two disciples dig the Bible study and walk along in amazement, but they don't figure out who is talking until God opens their eyes. That's just how he works sometimes. And just like that, Jesus disappears. The two men hightail it back to their friends in Jerusalem to share the amazing news. And in verse 36, Jesus shows up again. I'll let you read the story for yourself, with one important note. If you've ever heard the debate over whether Jesus came back to life as a spirit or in a flesh and blood body, read verse 39 carefully. Moving ahead to verse 45. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures and said to them, Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things, and behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you, but stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. Now the power from on high in verse 49 is the Holy Spirit, and the disciples had to wait for that power because they had a job that couldn't be done without it. On a day that the disciples started hopeless and distraught, they finished with a calling to bring hope to the entire world. Believer, you have that same calling, and you have that same power. You can explain the message, but only the Spirit can open the mind to understand it. Luke ends his account of the gospel story with a very short telling of a very awesome event. Jesus leads the disciples to a place called Bethany, and there he blesses them and flies away. Seriously. He was taken up into heaven right before their eyes. Now keep in mind, the men who saw this were willing to suffer and die for their belief in Jesus. They didn't make this stuff up. And we shall see Jesus take to the sky again when he comes back with a cloud. Hey, as long as he is risen, why not rise up all the way? Now the same goes for you and me. We are risen with him, and he will take us up. Read Luke 24 today, the day that Jesus defeated death. Finish the book and finish it the way the disciples do in the last two verses of the book. Not in memorial for a dead Savior, but in worship for a living King.
Join us next time on Through the Word as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. Start your own journey through the Bible with our web and mobile apps at throughtheword.org. Our apps are free and free to share, so tell your friends and take the journey together. Chris Langham is the founder of Through the Word Ministries in Diamond Head, Mississippi. You can find information and links for all of our teachers on the website. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.